And we're holding on page Chof Gimel in Bava Metzia, Ois Yud Aleph. As we talked about yesterday, the second half of the Perek mostly deals with Einas Mamon, cheating somebody financially, overcharging or underpaying. But then at the end of the Perek, it talks about Einas Dvarim, which the Torah puts them back to back also. First it says, when you're doing business, Al Tzonu Isha Sachiv, and then a couple of psukim later, it says, Velo Tzonu Isha Samisai, and Chazal explain, as in the Gemara over here, Rashi brings it on the pasuk, but that refers to Einas Dvarim. So the Gemara goes into detail about it. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. When the pasuk says, Lo Sonu Isha Samisai, the pasuk says, don't wrong, one person should not wrong his fellow Yid. That means, by Einas Dvarim, Akosim Adaber, the pasuk is referring to Einas Dvarim, to hurting him with words. After Omer by Nas Dvarim, so you're saying it means that, or in El by Nas Mamun, maybe it means Al Tonu, don't be unfair to him financially. A few psukim earlier, it says, when you sell something to your fellow Yid, or you buy something for your fellow Yid, and it continues, Al Tonu Isha Sachiv, so Hare Anas Mamun Omer, so Anas Mamun is already dealt with. So what does it mean when it continues and repeats, by Anas Dvarim, then that pasuk refers to Anas Dvarim. Ha Ketzad. So the Braisa says, what are some examples of Anas Dvarim? Imhoya Bal Tshuva, a person is a Bal Tshuva, Al Yom Eloi Zechor Ma'asech Al Rishonim, don't tell him, remember what you used to do. So don't bring up to him, don't bring up to him what he used to do when he was a Baal Averis. Imhoya Ben Gerim, if he was a son of Gerim, Al Yom Eloi Zechor Ma'asech Al Rishonim, then you shouldn't tell him, remember what your ancestors did. So Tosfos explains that the chiddush is with the Baal Tshuva, you're bringing up to him what he himself did. The Ben Gerim, you're not saying anything that he himself did, but you're saying what his parents did, and nevertheless, you shouldn't mention that. You shouldn't mention that either. Marsha goes on and explains further, but to say to a in a way to a Baal Tshuva to say Zchor Ma'asech HaRishonim would be very hurtful. After all, he's a Yid; he had these mitzvahs all along, and he was violating them. So now, to bring up to him that he used to violate those mitzvahs, then that would be hurtful. But a ger, in a way, to mention to him what he used to be, Adrabah, is a praise for him. Look at that. You used to be not one of us, and you had the gumption to take on Torah and mitzvahs.
That way.
He was born that way, basically. I guess in that case, I mean, based on that logic, you could say that with today's Bali Tshuva, then maybe it might be in the same category, because again, he wasn't born knowing anything. But be that as it may, the point is, when it comes to a Ben Gerim, so by a Ger himself, it says, Chor Ma'asech HaRishonim, might not be so bad. Obviously, it's going to depend on the tone of voice and whatever you use it in, but in and of itself, saying, Chor Ma'asech HaRishonim can be okay. A couple of the Mefarshim also point out, we find, for example, Eitz Yosef mentions over here that in Megillas Rus, when Boaz tells Rus how impressed he is with her, Ashabos, that you should be rewarded by Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Ashabos Lachsus Tachsus Knuffav. So also, like he's bringing up the fact that she's a Geyurtis, but not to insult her, but rather just the opposite, to praise her. That look how much she accomplished and how far she came. But to say to a Ben Ger, though, to say his father was the one who became a Ger, and to bring up to him, your ancestors did these Averis, is not right, and that's hurtful. There are Mephoshim will also point out another possible meaning of it can be that you're mentioning to him Avosecha can actually mean your grandparents and earlier. Your father, Mela, was a Ger, but your grandparents, they remained Goyim their whole lifetime, so don't bring that up against him. So you don't say that. Imhoya ger volumud Torah. Then if he himself is a ger and he's coming to learn Torah, al yomaloi, don't tell him mishalai hemen b'keo chai, somebody who previously didn't believe in the living God, or the geirsa that we have in the printed Gemara is pesha ochon nevelus atreifus shkotzim uramotzim, the same mouth that used to eat all these forbidden foods. And the point is, fine, as a ger he was certainly allowed to eat them, but nevertheless, Marsha points out these are things that many people are naturally repulsed by. So therefore, you would say to it, Mela, if it was other Isurim, fine, big deal. But he's eating these kinds of things, which a regular person is anyway, finds disgusting. And now you're saying that as a goy, you were eating them, and now to bring it up to him, Yavir Lumud Torah Shenemim Piagvura, and you're telling him rhetorically, such a mouth should now come to learn Torah that was given from the mouth of Hashem. So, and again, the idea being, in other words, like you might be saying, basically, it's the same mouth that you use to eat all those disgusting things. Now you want to use that same mouth to learn Torah. But again, that's a Nos Devarim. Don't do that. Another example, the Gemara is going to bring a couple more examples. I mean, the Sefer Achinuch points out when he brings this mitzvah, I mean, there's no end to the ways. People are always very inventive in coming up with ways to insult one another. We can't possibly list all of them, but Chazal give us a number of examples, and obviously those are meant as guidelines to use of what not to say. So another example, Mhoyu Yisurim Boin Olav. If a person has Yisurim coming on him, or he has sicknesses coming on him, yisurim can be any kind of yisurim. It can be, for example, financial troubles or other kinds of things. Choloim is specifically illnesses. Oshoim akaber sbanav, or Rahman al-Islan, he is burying his children. His children are dying young. Don't say to a person in that situation like what Eov's friends told him. So you have, and say for Eov, after all the tragedies and disasters that happened to Eov and his family, so he's sitting over there and then in terrible pain and sickness and scratching himself, and his three friends come to see him, and their conversations take up most of the sefer. So now, so Eov begins with a long speech bemoaning why was I born and why did I have to be living in the world. And then the oldest of the friends, Eliezer, the first of the friends, Eliphaz, replies to him and says, wasn't your yira, your fear of Hashem, kisvasecha was what you relied on. Tikvoscha, your hope, the soim derachacha, and the perfection of your ways. In other words, up until now, you've always feared, or at least put on a show of fearing Hashem and trusting in Hashem. And he continues, the choronom mihu noki ovad. Remember now, when do you ever find that an innocent person is completely lost? And it was Mela, that a person should have yisurim. Yeah, it's a tzaddikim sometimes have a rough time of it, but that they should be completely lost like you are. So in other words, Eliphaz is basically telling him, you're not the tzaddik that you pretended to be. So that's a very, very hurtful thing to say, and therefore, don't say to such a person. Tosfos explains the pasuk somewhat differently. That he's not saying what you were until now. He's saying you should have feared Hashem, and so you should have continued to fear Hashem, and then you could rely on Hashem and then continue in your perfect ways, and then you would be able to hope that Hashem will help you. But now, Zechor Nam Mihu Noki Ovad, the very fact that you're Ovid, again, demonstrates that you're apparently not the Noki that you really seem to be.
There's always chance for improvement. It's not like
there's always chance for improvement, but you know what? You have to say it in the proper way. I'll tell you, actually, the Gemara in Bava Basra, we'll get to it in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, has a long sugya all about the story of Eov. Quoting many psukim and analyzing it from every angle, the Gemara says at the end of Sefer Eov, the Hashem says to the three friends, "You didn't speak to me correctly like Eov did." Now, Eov, the Gemara explains over there, there's a number of things he says throughout his speeches and throughout his complaints where he's really saying very kfiradika things. He's saying things that seem to completely deny that Hashem runs the world and denies Tchias HaMesim and so on and so forth. How can Hashem say afterwards that you didn't speak correctly as he did? So the Gemara explains he himself is not held to account because he was suffering and therefore Einonim Nitzvos B'Shas Tzairot. But the idea is, in other words, also that they're speaking improperly in a number of ways, one of them being that they're accusing Eov of being a no-goodnik, when that's not the case. The fact is, the reason why he went through all of this is because the Satan convinces Hashem that you have to test Eov, but not that Eov was in fact no good. So therefore, that's the point. In other words, that what they said, there's certainly truth to it, but they didn't have to say it in that Einos Dvarim way. The Friedrich Rebbe tells a story involving himself during the 1930s and then 40s. The Friedrich Rebbe's health was very, 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 very weak. So he's going a lot of times to various spas and different health resorts and whatever to recover. The devil once said about the Friedrich Ebert, by the way, that the last 17 years of his life, essentially, he lived on Nissen. So we're talking from like 1933 and onward. But Derech HaTeva, he would have passed away long before that. Anyway, so during one of those times, he's at one of these spas and they have to give him an injection. So the nurse or whatever it is, kind of the nurse, the doctor, whatever, comes over and wipes the area down with a piece of gauze with alcohol and sterilizes the needle and so on and so forth. And Friedrich Ebert asks, why is all that necessary? And the person explains, because here we're supposed to be injecting something that will strengthen you, but if we don't clean the needle and the skin and everything, then we're going to inject germs into you and then you're going to be worse off than you were before. So the Friedrich Ebert says, everything you experience in life can be a lesson in avodah. The same way, sometimes it has to happen. You have to use a needle to inject to somebody else to tell him something that he needs to improve in some area of avodah or whatever. But you have to be very careful to sterilize everything first. Make sure there's no personal agendas or whatever getting involved over there. So the point is, in other words, over here we'd be saying that Ebert's friends, what they're saying has a certain truth to it, but they're not being careful to sterilize the skin and the needle first before they start plunging it in. In a way, when you get down to it, I mean, the whole Sefer Iyov is, in effect, it's basically a Fabrengen between the friends, but by Fabrengen also, you know, a real Chassidish Fabrengen is when, you know, that each people are going to be telling each other, you know, you have areas to improve in Avodah, but again, the point is, it has to be done in the right way. So that's an example of a Nas Devonim, and you're not supposed to do that. Marsha brings another explanation of the Pasuk that everybody knows that Iyov is a Yorish Shemayim, and that the Pasuk itself, at the beginning of the Sefer, says on him, Tom Yosher V'Yelakim V'Sor Meira, but his friends, Eliphaz and the rest of his friends, are accusing him, you weren't a Yorish Shemayim, purely L'Shem Shemayim, you were doing it Amanas V'Kabal Pras. So therefore, another meaning of Halo Yirotcha Kislosecha, says Marsha, the word Kislosecha is related to a word Ksil, which is a name of one mazel. So Halo Yirotcha, you know why until now you had your Yira? Kislosecha, because that way you figured you'll have good mazel. Tikvoscha, and because of that was your hope, you hoped for that, but Tom Yirotcha, and because of that you had your perfect ways, also that you'd have a good mazel. But, Zachor namihu noki ovad, but remember, now Eliphaz tells him, remember now, who was it that was clean and was lost, meaning clean in the sense of the Yidis and the Kiyim, me Hashem and me Yisrael. If Hashem knew that you were doing it purely l'shem Shemayim, then you wouldn't be in this situation. But obviously Hashem knows that your motivations were not completely noki. And therefore you're ovad, and therefore now you're lost, and now you're in this miserable situation. So again, it's a nas dvarim to accuse him like that without proof that he was acting like that, not l'shem shemayim, and to say that he was doing it all in order to have good mazel. And in fact, in many of Eve's speeches throughout the book, he argues forcefully against that and says and explains that it's not so. And then they keep pushing back on it, and it goes back and forth like that. In that connection, you know, you have, for example, you have a story in Gemara Brachas that says one time where Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine of his go sour. Rav Huna was very well to do, but still, it's quite a loss. So the Chum came to comfort him about it, and they have reason to know that there's something he's been doing wrong in Dini Mominus in connection with wine, which therefore that caused that. So they tell him, you know, you fashfish meisav. He says, I did. I can't think of anything. They say, you know, the fact is the Eibishter doesn't alloy over dinah below dinah. Hashem doesn't do judgment without some kind of cause. So Rav Huna invites them to tell him, and they tell him something involving his oris, that he's not treating the oris fairly. The point is, they're also, so they have to be careful to do it, not to do it in a way of a nasty about him, but again, to bring him to realize there's what to be corrected, but do it in the proper way, which Eib's friends did not do. Another example of a nostrum, im hoyu chamorim mivakshim tumu mimenu, if donkey drivers in those days basically were like truck drivers nowadays, that's how they, when you want large amounts of food transported from point A to point B, you'd have a donkey driver bring it. So if donkey drivers are coming to town, mivakshim tumu mimenu, and they're asking him, where can we buy grain? Lo yoyim lahem b'chur etzel Pliny. Don't tell them, go to Pliny, shuhu moshko tfuah, where Pliny sells grain, v'yadeh, v'yishalam mochalam ma'olam, and the person who's sending them knows that this person never sold. So there's going to be a nasa zvorim on both sides. The junkie drivers are going to waste a trip over there and go on a wild goose chase, and the person is going to come to him and ask him for grain, and he's going to, I never sold grain in my life, and then it's going to make for an uncomfortable situation on both sides.
Can you say? Can you ask a question like, in a down foot table, though low? I mean, what does he accomplish by doing that?
What does he accomplish by telling them? I don't know. But whatever it is, why he would want to do that. Maybe Taki wants to embarrass the other guy. I don't know. But whatever the case, the point is that don't do it. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda says, here's another thing. Aflo yitla einav ala mecca. Also, a person should not be looking and staring at something that's for sale. When he doesn't in fact have money. So now the storekeeper is going to think that he has a sale to make over here, and in the end it turns out that you were just window shopping and he's not getting anything out of it. The Meiri, I think, points out there may be another point as well, where other people are going to see him looking at it and then not bothering, and they're going to think maybe there's some kind of defect in it or something, so it causes the storekeeper an actual loss. Now, the bottom line is, all of this is given over to the heart, meaning any of these things a person does, he could always claim that he's doing it for the right reasons. Only the Eishter knows the truth. Whenever you have such things, Rashi brings it in a couple of places in Parshas Kedoshim and Parshas Bahar, when it says a number of times, and every time, the idea is, whenever it says, is always a thing where a person can rationalize in front of other people that what he did was good and valid, but Hashem knows the truth. So therefore, so with all these things, fear Hashem and realize that He knows what your real motivations are in saying or doing any of these things. The Gemara continues. Being unfair to somebody with words, hurting them with words, is worse and it is greater, is a bigger avera than a nas mamon, than cheating them financially. Because we just said that by Arnas Zvonim, it says V'yoreisim Elekecha, V'zele Nemer, V'yoreisim Elekecha, by the Arnas Mammon, a few Pesukim earlier, it doesn't say V'yoreisim Elekecha, implying that being over on that is worse. So first of all, the Gemara is going to go out, the different Amiroyim are going to go and give different reasons for that. But Maharshal explains, Rabbi Yochanan's own reason is the very fact that it says, V'yareisim elekecha, means, in other words, if a person is over on a nos mamon, then it shows he's not afraid of Hashem's judgment. He's not afraid of Hashem watching him, and as we learned in Baba Kama, in a way that's more serious than doing an Aveda that other people can see. So for that reason alone, it's considered a bigger Aveda. Rabbi Loza is a different reason why it's worse. Zebeg gufoy bezebeg mamoinai. Cheating him financially is only affecting his guf. Rather, anas dvarim is affecting his guf, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, causing him to turn red and to turn pale. Bezebeg mamoinai, as opposed to anas mamon, is only affects his mamon, which is less severe. Tosfos points out, we did learn a couple of weeks back at the end of Baba Basra, that a person steals a shava pruta from somebody else is ki'ilu noitel nafsha, is as if he's taken away his soul. But fine, there we could be talking about, Tosfos says, what if the person is taka very, very hungry, he's on the verge of starvation, and that pruta makes an enormous difference to him. But most of the time, that's not going to be like that, and therefore in that sense, anos mamon is not nearly as bad as anos tvarim. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Omar, here's another reason Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni says, Zen nitin lehi shoven, v'zen le nitin lehi shoven. When it comes to anas mamon, fine, it's always possible afterwards to reimburse him the amount that he was cheated. But when it comes to anas dvarim, you can't take it back. He's suffered the embarrassment, and now there's no taking that back. A few decades ago, there was one time a government official here in the United States who was accused of crimes or something like that by the news media, and afterwards it turned out to all be false. He said a famous expression, "Where do I go to get my reputation back?" So the Gemara continues. Tony Tana Kame. There is actually a story in that connection. How does it go? I'm not sure I remember all the details of the story, but I'll try to tell it as best I can. In the back of the Gemara, you have the Pirush of the Rashash, Rav Shmuel Strasher. And he was an important Talmud Chacham in Vilna 200 years ago. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He was also a Gvir. So he ran a Gemilas Chesed. People would come to him for loans. So one time, somebody had borrowed money from him, and when the guy comes back to return it, he's in the Beis Medrash sitting and learning. So the Rashash accepts the money and puts it between the pages of his Gemara. He can't deal with it right now, but he puts it between the pages of his Gemara, and afterwards he puts away the sefer and forgets about it. Later on, he looks at his records, he finds that he doesn't have a record that this guy paid back. To make a very, very long story short, the matter went to Beis Din, and the Beis Din said the guy has to swear. He did swear, but still everybody suspected him. Aitochen, the Rashash would never lie if he says that the guy didn't pay back. So everybody started shunning this guy. Eventually, one day, the Rashash opens up the Gemara and finds the money over there and realizes what happened. He runs over to the guy to ask Mechila. And the guy says, at this point, it's too late. My name is already Mudhew in Vilna. In the story, you have details about what had happened to the guy over the years. His children were shunned even in Cheder. Nobody wanted to do anything with them. And then it had become a big thing. Kitzur HaMaaseh, as I recall, the end of the story is that Rashash offers the guy to make a shidduch between his son and the guy's daughter, or the other way around, or whatever. That way, everybody will realize. That way, we'll show once and for all that they, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tani Tana Kameder Rav Nachman. A Tana taught a brisa in front of Kameder Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. In front of Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Kol Malbin Pnei Chaveira Berabim. A person who humiliates somebody else. Literally, Malbin Pnei Chaveira means he makes the person's face turn white. Barabim in public, kilu shoyfich domim. It's like he's spilling his blood. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says shafer ka'amrit. What you're saying is very true. This braisa that you said is extremely accurate, and it is very correct that such a thing is considered like shvichas domim. The chazin alei, the ozel sunka va'osi chivra. Because we see when a person is humiliated that for the red goes away and the white comes. In other words, Rashi says that, not Rashi, Tosfa says, in other words, what happens is, first the guy turns red in the face, he gets terribly embarrassed and the blood rushes to his face and then it drains away and he's white faced. So that Marsha points out that the reason why Tosfos needed to mention that first point about him blushing is because that helps us understand why it's considered like shvichas damim. The same way as a person is killed, then all the blood rushes to one place and pours out. The same way over here, all the blood rushes to his face and then it drains away and leaves him white faced. Ben Yehoyada points out why shreifach dom mim in the plural is because what's going to happen is, again, the guy's going to remember every time over and over again, he's going to replay in his mind what happened, and every time he's going to feel the same humiliation, and again, the blood is going to drain from his face remembering it. So therefore, dom mim in the plural. The Gemara continues, Omalei Abaya L'Rav Dimi, B'ma'a Rova B'ma'i Zahiri. Abaya asked Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi was one of the Chachamim who used to regularly travel between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. We find all over Shas that Rav Dimi, Rovin, we have several Amiroyim like that who would regularly travel between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. That way they could keep in touch. That way how is it that throughout the Bavli we have things from the Chachamim and the Yerushalmi and vice versa? It's because there were Chachamim who kept up regular contact between them and would report in one place what the Chachamim had been learning and discussing in the other one. So Rav Dimi was one of them. So Abaya asks him, B'ma Rava, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, B'ma'i Zahiri, what particular mitzvah, and especially in mitzvahs in Adam L'Chaveroi, are people especially careful in? On the list, Rav Dimi answers him, B'achvuri Api, they're extra careful in Eretz Yisrael about this matter of not causing somebody else's face to turn pale. Marsha points out, in other words, the point is that this is the kind of thing many people are not always careful about that. Nevertheless, in Eretz Yisrael, they're exceptionally careful about it. Why are they so careful about that? Ion Yaakov, Ion Yaakov points out that the pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, you have a whole section over there in Parshas Maaseh about the case of a Ritzeach v'Shoigeg, Ritzeach v'Mezid, that has to be killed, has to go to the Ur Miklot, whatever, and the pasuk makes the point over there, Ki Adam Hu Yachnif HaSa'aretz. Bloodshed pollutes Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is not going to tolerate it more so than any other country. Since we just said that embarrassing somebody in public is tantamount to Shvichas Damim, therefore in Eretz Yisrael they were exceptionally careful about that. Because they didn't want to pollute Eretz Yisrael with that. And he also adds, we've talked about the fact before, the styles of learning in Eretz Yisrael versus in Bavel, where in Eretz Yisrael they were much more neuchim zelazeh. They got along more when it came to discussion. They would argue, of course, they would argue and discuss the halacha, but not in the way, like almost like jumping down each other's throats that you found more in Bavel. So that was also part of this. They were careful not to embarrass another. Like for here we had earlier in our Masechta, for example, we had the story with Rabba and Rab Amram, Rabba bringing a proof to something from a Mishnah, and Rab Amram publicly calling him out, but this is not a valid proof, and Rabba using a very sharp expression against Rab Amram. You didn't have such things in Eretz Yisrael, precisely because they were careful to not embarrass each other in public. Eitz Yosef adds another point as well. The Gemara tells us in Nedarim that there's a pasuk in the Teuchecha, near the end of the Teuchecha in Parshas Kisavai, that says that in Golos, V'nosan Hashem l'choshom lev ragaz, Hashem will give you there, in Golos, an angry heart. The Gemara explains in Nedarim, meaning in other words, in Chutzlaretz, people are much more prone to anger than in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, and then the Gemara tells a horrifying story of it over there in the Nedarim, but in any case, the point is that because of that, therefore, so in Bavel, they weren't able to be careful as much as they would want to be. The anger that they have more of a tendency to in Bavel would prevent them from being able to avoid being Malbin Pnei Chavera Beradim, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have that, and therefore they're more able to be careful with it. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chanina, Hakol Yodim Gehenim Chutz Megimel. Everybody goes down to Gehenim except for three. And the Gemara interjects, wait, Hakol Sof Da'at. What do you mean everybody goes to Gehenim? many people don't have to go to Gehenim. Ella, no. What he means is Ella Ema. What he means to say is, Kol Yodim Gehenim Oilin. Everybody who goes down to Gehenim comes out of there. Some people right away, some people after a little bit of time. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a whole discussion about how long various classes of people spend in Gehenim. Chutz mishloisha sheyodim ve'enim olim. With the exception of people who do one of three things where they go down and they don't come up. Maybe it doesn't mean they don't come up at all, but at least, in other words, it means that they spend a good long time there. The Elohein, Habal Eshesish. The first one is a man has relations with an Eshesish. And somebody who humiliates and causes somebody's face to turn pale in public. And the third one is somebody who calls somebody else by a derogatory name.
It's almost like
the Gemara asks, right? The Gemara asks, calling him by a derogatory name is the same thing as embarrassing him. What's the difference? And the answer is, Afagab the Dosh Bei Bishmei, meaning even let's say that he's used to it already. He's used to that. He's used to this nickname, so he doesn't get embarrassed by it. But nevertheless, this guy means to embarrass him. So nevertheless, then he still is somebody who's going to wind up spending a long time in Gehenna. Maushra points out, though, there's a little bit of a doichik in it. The fact is, if the person is not actually embarrassed by it, so what that you meant to do that? The fact is, Machshava Ra, and Akarish Bochum Etzav for the Maizdel, Maushra doesn't mention that point, but whatever, why should he be punished so severely for intending to insult the other guy when, in fact, he doesn't feel insulted? So rather, Maushra explains what it means is, that it's because it is a third category, namely, it's considered like Motzi Shemra. So, in other words, it's a different thing. Not a matter of embarrassing him, but a matter of spreading bad rumors about him. Calling him by this derogatory name is to be spreading bad rumors and bad information about him. So even if the other guy's not embarrassed, that in and of itself is a serious avera. Then he goes on to say that the Rambam, when he brings this halacha, doesn't even mention a machane shem ra. He just mentions a machane. That he calls somebody by a nickname, by a nickname. It may not even be a shem ra, it may not even be a bad nickname, but just a nickname that's an insulting nickname or something. Tosfos has a long explanation over here. What we mean, what exactly do we mean by this Yodin Ve'en and Olin? And the Gemara, in fact, is going to say in the next line now that we just said that one of the three is in Baal Eishes Ish. But nevertheless, a person who Baal Eishes Ish, the Gemara is going to say in a few lines, does in fact have a place in Olam Haba. So it can't mean Ein Olin as they never come out of Gehenna. It just means that they're not going to come out right away. They actually get burned by the fire of Gehenna. Some of them, the Malbin Pnei Chavera Berabim, the Gemara goes on to say, actually can lose their Chelik and Mamba. The Baal Eishes Ish is not quite that bad. He'll have to stay in there 12 months like the other Rishoyim, but then he'll get out of it. Tosfos goes on with various other possibilities about and discussions about who exactly spends various amounts of time in Gehenna based on different other Gemaras. We find Gemaras that Minim, that Poshi, Sirab Gufan, don't get out of Gehenna so easily. Why is it not mentioned over here? What about Minim? What about people who had relations with a Goita? So Tosfos discusses various points about why those are not listed over here. At one point, Tosfos does end up saying that tshuva helps for all these things. And after all, b'machom shabale tshuva onim ein tzadikim gunim mecholim lamed. So a person shouldn't think he's done one of these things. That's it. He's a goner. He can always do tshuva.
He can do tshuva.
In the case of the malvin pnei chaver b'adam, it may not be so easy to undo it. He may have to go to the extreme like the Rashash did. But nevertheless, he does what he can.
Ish is
he asked her to her husband. Right. There's nothing can be done about that. But yeah. The Gemara continues. Omer Rabba Babachana Omer Abyechanan, Noyach Loyla Odom, Shi Yavai Al Sofik Eishes Ish, it would be better or easier for a person to have relations with a Sofik Eishes Ish, Val Yabman Pnei Chavera Barabim, rather than humiliating somebody in public. Now, we're talking about a Sofik Eishes Ish, so Ben Yahoyodi explains, so the Gemara is going to explain over here that we learn it from the story of Dovin and Bathsheba, where she was a Sofik Eishes Ish for various reasons, but Ben Yahoyodi explains, in other words, that what we mean basically is that, let's say you have a case where he would be able to tell what the facts are and demonstrate that she's not in fact a suffocatious ish, but to do that would require embarrassing somebody else and telling some negative fact about somebody else, and we're saying better he shouldn't do that. But if they suspect him of a vadaicious ish, then yeah, he has to tell, because then he has to cleanse himself of that, then he can't be worried about the halbonus upon him of somebody else, because that's, after all, the vadaicious ish would be a pretty serious aveda. So Manolon, where do we see this from? Midedorash Rava. We see it from what Rava Darshan. Didorash Rava, my dichtir, what does it mean? A posse can tell him, Ovitzali Somchu Vinas Sofogrim. The simple meaning of the posse is something like, Ovitzali, when I was limping, Somchu Vinas Sofu, they were happy and they gathered against me. Previous Tsukim before that talk about how David was saying, when my enemies were sick, I would feel bad and I would be putting on sackcloth and davening on their behalf and everything. Meanwhile, when I'm limping and I'm sick, then they're happy and they're gathering together and they're saying, oh, good, we wish he was gone. So they're not reciprocating to me with the Avas Yisrael that I show them. It's talking about other Yidden, Pashkos. I mean, it could be talking about Goyim as well, but yeah. Anyway, Rashi explains that in the Jerusha over here, we're going to understand, Uvitzali, Miloshin, Vayubin Hashem Alekim Asatzela, the rib or the side of Adam that Hashem made in Zechava, so therefore Uvitzali means because of my wife. Some chuvenes suffer, and because of that, they're happy and they gather together to mock me. And the pasuk continues, "Koru v'loy domu." They ripped and they were not silent. So again, the simple meaning means like they're ripping me up and they're not silent and they keep on laughing and mocking me. So what does it mean? I'm a David lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And David is saying to Hashem, Ribbono Shel'olam, Goliv Yadua Lefanecha, it's well known and revealed before you, Sheim Hoy Makarin Besari, that if they were to rip open my flesh, Lohoyo Dami Shosis La'aretz, my blood would not even spill out onto the ground, because I've been so humiliated. And we said before, the blood drains from the face, so like my face is completely drained of blood now. So at that point, they were to rip open my face, like no blood would even come out. A different explanation is that he's saying that I've been fasting so much because of the whole thing with Bathsheba, like I have no more blood anymore. But they're constantly humiliating me and bringing up this point. Veloy oy, not only that, Ela afil b'shal sha'oskim and goyim ba'olos. Even when they're busy learning, even when they're busy learning the goyim ba'olos, which are very complicated areas of Torah. Oimrim Li, they would still interrupt in the middle of that, of those analysis of deep parts of Torah, and they would tell me sarcastically, David, a Baal Esh Yisish Misasi B'ma, a man who has relations with an Esh Yisish, as you did with Rascheva, how was he killed? Vani Oimer Lahem, and I answer them, Misasi B'chenek, yes, he does get chenek, V'yesh Lechelek L'mabba, but at least, even though we said he may spend some time in Gehenim, at least he has a Chelek L'mabba, Aval Malvin Pnei Chaber B'rabim, but somebody who humiliates somebody else publicly, like you're doing, Ein Lechelek L'mabba. So the point is that David is asking Hashem to stand up on his behalf of these enemies of his who are constantly bugging him and tormenting him about this kind of thing. He was the king at that point. Actually, Ben Yehoyada says, why are they calling him David? This is David. Why are they calling him HaMelech David or something, or Adonai HaMelech or something? He says, because David made a rule in the Beis Medrash, and the Beis Medrash were all equals, where you can call me by my name. But nevertheless, they're misusing that to use it as an opportunity to attack David. So Tosfos says, in other words, the point is, Mela, when they're being bottled, okay, you know, maybe what else are they going to be talking about? But they're learning and going to all this. They're involved in tremendously complicated halachas, and have nothing to do with Esh Yisish. So why are they interrupting to say this? It just shows what Rishonim they are. Tosfos brings a different gusa when they're learning about the Arba Mitzvos Beis Din. So they're learning about Skilas Shefa, Hedek V'Chenek, so they use that opportunity to bring up, you know, one of the people who gets Chenek is somebody who has relations with an Esh Yisish. So in other words, this is a case of Suffolk Esh Yisish, because basically David had sent off Uriah to war. He didn't know if he's actually going to get killed in war or not. It's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in a couple of places in Shas. We know that Kol HaYotzim Mohammed based David Kosa Get Kursus Leishtai, was it, Rashi learns in a number of places that it was a conditional get, and in that case it's conditional on Uriah dying after all, whereas Tosfos learns that it was unconditional, but still it's called Suffolk Esh Yisish in the sense that people would keep it under wraps. They wouldn't publicize it because they don't want somebody else to go marry her while her ex-husband is away. So Marshall also adds, in other words, why Negoyim V'olis? Negoyim come for Lashon Hara. That would be a special time for them to be careful not to be speaking Lashon Hara. And still, and we mentioned Olus because Negoyim and Olus always go together. So even when they're learning Negoyim, they can't resist the Lashon Hara about me. But we see, in other words, that David himself is telling them that I may be chayav misa in my body because I'm Baal Esh Yisish, but at least my neshama will be saved from Dina Shel Gehenim, whereas you're going to be the other way around because you're Malbin Pnei Chaver Berabin. This also fits with what Tosfos was saying before, that at least the Baal Esh Yisish is, at least he's going to spend time there, but he's going to come out, whereas the Malbin Pnei Chaver Berabin is not. Okay.
You can forgive him, but if they keep
on doing it habitually, then forgiving them is not going to do any good, because it's just going to use it as license to do it more. So therefore, and we learned in Bava Kamma that when a person has recourse here on earth, then he shouldn't be complaining to Hashem. But here, apparently, the idea is, what's David going to do? He can't go to a Beis Din and say that they're doing something wrong over here. So therefore, he has no choice but to leave it up to the Eibishter to take care of the matter. Okay. Yomim Mashiach Ogula, Dalad Kislev. The pasuk says, "V'loy in Mashiach's time, v'loy yikonif oid meirecha." Your teacher Hashem will no longer be hidden behind a konif, behind a garment. So nowadays we can't even see the konif. The konif is just a corner of the garment, and we can't even see that. Of course, even the levush, we don't even see the levush itself, not just the konif, is tuffle and is bottle to the one who's dressed in it, and then especially when the one in it is meirecha. But l'asid lavoi, there will be a konif. There will still be a seder eshtalshlus. There will be ma'isim akava. There will be eses firis, but it won't be hiding lo yikonif oid meirecha. That konif will no longer hide a lakus. We'll see a lakus. After Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, beginning halachas of Dinin Tzilas Yadayim, the Chacham made a takana to wash your hands every morning and say Al Tzilas Yadayim. Why? Yesh Mefoshim, because you're going to be saying Krishma, and you're going to be davening Shachris. Yadayim Askoni is saying your hands are always busy and touching things, and therefore, very likely, when you were sleeping, they touched parts of your body that are dirty, and therefore they need to be washed. So that's one reason why to wash in the morning. And then further on, he's going to explain a difference. Further on, he's going to go on to explain more, according to that, more bases for that Netilas Yadayim in the morning. And eventually we're going to get to another reason for Netilas Yadayim altogether. Yeah.